Welcome to all of you to this second Sunday of Advent worship service. I suspect many of you have been able to greet one another before the service began, but just in case you didn't, I'd like to give you a chance to stand as you're able. Let's greet those around us. Let's welcome each other here. Just a few announcements in our bulletin. We'll say more about the vote of affirmation for Jake and Agatha a little later on. There's a funeral service happening this morning for George Bourne. He was 101 years old and has been doing relatively well, but the funeral for him is this morning, so a number of people from this congregation are in Steinbach this morning for that service. Still a few empty spots on our sign-up sheet for cookies if you'd like to bake some for the club's program. There's still a few empty slots for next January, February. We would appreciate your participation with that. Otherwise, Harley has an announcement I'd like you to make.
Good morning. Just wanted to give you all kind of an early heads up. Kirsten Friesen and I are planning a worship night of Christmas music, old, new, familiar, unfamiliar, all kinds of stuff. We're gonna have a December 31st, time to be confirmed, but probably earlier in the evening, 6 or 7. I think because there's gonna be a games night usually after for New Year's Eve. So everybody's welcome, bring your friends, people who don't come to church. If you want to hear some of the newer Christmas songs that are going to be on the set list, you can email or text Kirsten. She'll get you those. You could maybe hear them ahead of time. But I think it's going to be really good to celebrate some Christmas music that's really good, but it's such a short window. So we can have a bit of a time to hear some newer stuff and some older stuff and have all kinds of stuff together and really have one evening where we can get like kind of lots of Christmas music. I know sometimes it feels like you hear songs a lot, but there are other ones out there, and I think it'll be really good. So it's going to be here, I think, in the sanctuary. So there'll be more details to come. Probably a Facebook event for those of you so inclined. So keep your ears open. Thanks.
Good morning. On behalf of the Finance Committee, I just want to thank you all very much for your generous donations in supporting this church. And I just want to remind you of the goal that we set at the beginning of the year. We made a budget and we approved it for $375,000, which is a lot of money. And right now, after some adjustments, we're looking at needing about $100,000 to the end of the year that we need to bring in if we want to meet that budget. So I encourage you to exercise the spiritual discipline of giving. We're about to run a marathon in these last few weeks, and so we need some strength, and we need to all pull together. And if we all chip in, we can chip away at this, and it is not that we haven't done it before. We're here year after year in this situation, and if you want to get rid of me in the next few weeks for making these announcements, you know what to do. So, thank you.
I just wanted to make an announcement about, there's a few of us that have thought it would be a really good idea to try and do 24 hours of worship and prayer. And so we're going to be planning that for January 5th. We'll start at 8:30 in the morning. And you're welcome to come for all or part. If you're there for the whole time, you're amazing. But we'll start at 8:30 a.m. in the Youth Center on January 5th, which is a Saturday. And so you're welcome to come at any time. We're hoping to have live worship the whole time. So if there's people that are willing to lead that for an hour or two, please let me or Tyson know, and we'll put you in there. And we'll go from 8:30 a.m. on January 5th till 8:30 a.m. January 6th, which is a Sunday, and so we'll kind of be right before Sunday school, and we'll kind of lead right into the service. So if you would consider coming for part of that, even if you just want to spend some time listening to the worship music and praying, reading the Word in an environment, we just want to lift up our King, because Jesus is worth it. So please, please plan to come. Thanks.
For those of you living under a rock, Christmas is coming. And so the Christmas Sunday School Children's Program is also coming, which is right before Christmas on the 23rd, which is the Sunday before Christmas. So we are planning to have a practice for the Children's Sunday School Program. So that's all the kids who are up here on a Sunday morning. At 9:30 in the morning on Saturday the 22nd. So that is the day before the Christmas program. Again, 9:30 in the morning on December the 22nd. So we're hoping for all the kids to be there. That would be wonderful. We're going to have a dress rehearsal with a whole bunch of very cute little costumes, which Marilyn has got for us, which we're very excited about. So put that on the calendar. Thank you.
I think with all those announcements, I think church is done. We should go home, yeah? I actually have one more. Got a phone call this morning from Dorothy Peters. She is the daughter of Dan and Elma Peters, longtime missionaries in Mexico, were sent there by the General Conference years ago, and were very instrumental in Mexico with working with teaching and with church work. I know the Berwaldi, as Peter Zacharias has mentioned to me, the Berwaldi congregation was basically started by them, a very thriving congregation. The Steinreich Community Church there also has received a lot of inspiration from Dan and Elma's work there. The funeral for Elma was held yesterday at Emmanuel Church, and Dan has passed away a number of years earlier already. But Dorothy called and she wanted to express her appreciation for this church's ongoing support and prayer support for her parents for the many years when they were part of this congregation. Just wanted to pass that on. Are there any other announcements this morning? Have you ever had someone say to you, "Hurry up, we're going to be late"? So, you want to say more, Harley, or not? Our daughter Amanda was preparing to go on an excursion with a number of students where they work, but there was one problem. One student was missing. So they went to check on him in his room, and he was sleeping. He was fast asleep. And when they woke him up, they found out that he hadn't really packed anything. He wasn't ready to go at all. Quite absent-minded. He had received several multiple reminders during the week about the fact that this was coming, but this was the morning when he was still fast asleep. We prepare for weddings, for anniversaries. We prepare for birthdays. We look forward to planning a trip. We have reunions. We even prepare for exams. What if we don't prepare for any of these events? Usually then our experience of them falls pretty flat. This still reminds me of when I was at university and the professor gave us a exam that we would write on the first Sunday coming back after Christmas. and gave us the question and said we could work on it and do all the work we wanted to. And the first class after Christmas, then we would come back and simply write. That would be our exam for that semester. The first class back, we got the papers and we just simply started writing. Everything was quiet, we started writing, and it was quiet for about 5 minutes. And then there was a hand that was raised at the back of the class by a student. And she asked what the question was, and he said, "Can somebody tell me what the question was?" He had not done any preparation for this exam, had come back to this class and wasn't prepared at all to write anything on this paper. In fact, didn't know what the question was. It would have been a tough morning for him, or a long one. Was not prepared. We come to worship, which in a sense is coming to prepare also for Christmas, for the coming of the Christ child. And I find it instructive that in Scripture, to prepare, God generally sends messengers. Messengers like angels, or like John the Baptist, who called people to repentance and confession, to gain knowledge of salvation to people in the forgiveness of their sins through the mercy of our God, to give light and peace to people's lives. We come to worship a God who invites us to prepare so we are able to receive this forgiveness and this salvation. We come to worship a God who invites us to prepare for his promised second coming as well. Let's read together for our opening prayer, the prayer for the week found in our bulletin. It's a prayer of confession found in the insert, the first side of your insert. Let's read together. Dear God, we confess before you those places in our hearts where we have refused you entrance, people we have refused to love, habits we never get around to changing, good things we have left undone, and ways in which we hurt you, ourselves, and others. Come to us in the light of your Christ. Shine on those places we have hidden from you. Show us new ways to live. Sweep clean the rooms of our hearts, that Christ may find a home among us. Be known among us now and forever. Amen.
Good morning. I would invite you to stand as we sing together, O come, Emmanuel. Let's rejoice that Emmanuel is with us every day.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Testing.
Let us listen to the words of the Song of Mary as found in Luke 1, 46 to 53. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who was mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud of the imagination of their heart. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich has sent empty away."
God is making preparations for an amazing event. Now is the advent of a long-awaited Messiah, our bringer of hope, the Lord of love.
We celebrate the coming of Christ with the lighting of the Advent candles. We are the people of hope, a people of love.
The frail light of a single candle daring to pierce the darkness of despair and sin is a symbol of hope. The gentle glow of a second candle is a symbol of the God of love whom we worship. For God so loved the world that a child was given. A Savior came to live among us in the form of love incarnate.
This is the Savior of the whole world, whose love was demonstrated in a reversal of expectations, where the lowly are raised to places of honor. Those considered unrighteous are justified. The lost are found, the dead are raised.
We give thanks for a love that surpasses understanding, and we await the dawning of God's pervasive and enduring love once more this Christmas season.
Thank you. I'd like to invite the ushers to take this morning's offering, please. And Jaylin will play, and I hear she's going to sing for us, too. Thank you.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked through angels' throne? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises to the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
Thank you. It's well done. Thank you. Let's bow to pray. Lord, this morning we give you thanks for people like Mary, those who accepted your call, and we wonder so often what must that have been like. But to demonstrate the obedience to the messenger that came, thank you for her example of faith. This morning, Lord, we confess you as our Savior and Lord. We confess also our continued need for you. And we confess our desire to have your healing and hope flow through us to the world around us. We are so grateful for the way that you have shown your steadfast love and faithfulness to us in the past. You have shown yourself to be trustworthy, and for that we give you our thanks. You call us to be prepared for your coming to us. You send us messengers. You give us plenty of heads-up directives to guide and to uphold. And forgive us when we pay no heed. Thank you for your grace and mercy, which you extend to us and to all who call upon you. We pray your nearness to those who are not able to be here among us this morning, those in care homes, those serving in faraway places, those for whom Christmas can be a lonely time. Come anew with your light, your truth, and your peace, just as you came to those shepherds so many years ago. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last year, Jake and Agatha Falk agreed to a one-year term as deacons. Now, a one-year term may seem a little odd, and it probably is, except that it was needed to fill a vacancy in the number of deacons, as well as to get our rotation for nominations back on track. After prayerful consideration, they have agreed to an additional three-year term. Since we only needed to fill one position this year, we don't need any further nominations. So this morning, we are asking from you a vote of affirmation for Jake and Agatha to serve for an additional three-year term. We'd like to hand out the ballots, and all members are eligible to participate. The ballots are blank. They have no names on them. We're not asking you for any additional names this morning. What we're asking is for a yes, or for to put either a yes or a no on this ballot. If you put a yes on there, it means that you are in favor of affirming Jake and Agatha for a three-year term as deacons, or no, meaning I am not in favor. So we just need a word, either yes or no on the ballot. We will hand those ballots out, and once you have placed your word on that, we'd ask that you would hand them back to the middle. We'll get people to collect them, and we'll take it from there. I'm going to ask some volunteers if you would look after handing out these ballots. We got a couple more. I have some pencils as well if people need. There's some up in the balcony. We need to take a little pile and just hand those out. So again, just to be clear, we just need on the ballot either a yes, you're voting in favor of this vote of affirmation for Jake and Agatha, or no, you are not. Just one word on the ballot. Has everyone received a ballot so far? Still missing some? If you could write on that ballot your either yes or no, and then hand it to the middle of the aisles, plus your pencils that you've used, if you've used one, we'll collect those. Have the ballots all been returned? Have I had a chance to anybody still need one to be returned? I think we're good. Thank you. Thanks for helping. You bet. I'm going to invite the children to come. Carmen has a story prepared for you, and if you could come and participate in that story with her, please.
Morning, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. Today we're going to talk about preparation. Does anybody know what that means? What do you think it means?
It's like you prepare for things.
Yeah.
Getting ready
for something. You're right. What kinds of things do you do in the morning to prepare for school? Pack your lunch, get dressed,
play outside,
maybe.
You can go outside and walk to school or go on the bus.
Yeah, go on the bus or walk to school. Does anybody eat breakfast?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you brush your teeth?
Yes.
No. Yeah. Do you get your backpack all full of all the stuff you're going to need?
Yeah.
You don't need anything? All right. Okay, what happens if you forget your lunch?
I can just walk home with my aunt.
Oh, so you're prepared. The teacher gives you a snack. Are you going to be hungry if you forget your lunch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The teacher
can't give you. Yeah. What kinds of things did you put on this morning to prepare to go outside on your way to church? Shoes and a jacket. Pants. Did you put a toque on maybe?
No.
Mittens?
No.
No. What would have happened if you forgot all things? Well, some of you obviously forgot some things. What did? Were you cold outside?
No.
No. What event have we all been getting ready for lately?
Christmas.
Christmas. What kinds of things do people do to prepare for Christmas? Presents.
Decorate the Christmas tree.
Get a tree, yeah. Do anybody, or does anybody have Christmas programs or a school program at church or school that you're getting ready for? Yeah, make Christmas presents. Does anybody have Advent calendars?
Yeah.
Who are we preparing for at Christmas?
No.
Santa.
Jesus.
Jesus, yeah. And why do we celebrate Jesus' birth? Why do we celebrate Jesus' birth? Yeah. Because he's God's son. All the decorations, gatherings, lights, and presents are nice, but it wouldn't mean anything without Jesus, right? On the very first Christmas, they didn't have all those things except for a gift. There was one gift. Does anybody know what that gift was? Yes. Jesus. On the very first Christmas, God gave us the first Christmas gift of his son, Jesus. We give others gifts because God first gave to us. So if we forget to include Jesus in our preparations, we aren't going to have the same kind of joy in our life or the same kind of peace amidst the busyness and the same kind of love for all of those around us. We have all those things because of the hope Jesus brings us, and that is something truly worth celebrating. Do you? And one day, Jesus is going to come again, and we want to be prepared to meet him. So I'm going to pray, and then I have something for you guys. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for each one of these kids. Please be with each of them as they prepare for Christmas this season. Please help them to understand the true meaning of Christmas. And when each of them is ready, please let them accept your gift of Jesus in their life so that they are prepared to meet you in heaven one day. Amen. Okay, now I have a small gift for each of you. It's a candy cane. And when you flip it upside down, do you know what letter this is? A J for Jesus. So every time you see a candy cane, I want it to be a reminder that Jesus is the reason that we have Christmas or we celebrate Christmas. All right.
Okay, we're going to sing again. The next two songs are songs of hope. Robin Mark wrote the song Days of Elijah, and the themes of the verses are declaration, righteousness, unity, and worship. Robin Mark expressed these thoughts by reference to the characters in the Old Testament. It is, in essence, a song of hope for the church and the world in times of trial. The chorus is the ultimate declaration of hope, Christ's return. It's saying Days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Let the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation come. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declare the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation come. There's no God like Jehovah, 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 there's no God like Jehovah. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation come. Jesus, hope of the nations, Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness, Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains, you rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. Lord, we believe. Jesus, hope of the nations, Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness, Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains, you rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. Lord, we believe.
You may be seated.
Today I'm going to be reading from Malachi 3, verses 1 to 4 to start off, and then we'll head to Luke. It's Malachi 3, verses 1 to 4. See, I will send my messenger, who will prepare the way for me. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure this day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner or purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in former years. And then we'll head to Luke 1, verses 67 to 79. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. to show mercy to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. The oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, which is by the rising sun, which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into a path of peace.
Check. Check, check. Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are good. God, I pray that your words would be spoken this morning and that your Spirit would reveal truth to us. Thank you that you are with us, that you love us. And I pray that you would go with us this week. Remind us of your presence. Amen. My title this morning is Be Prepared. And as I've been working through getting ready for this morning, there's a few things that have come to my mind about being prepared. And I want to share them with you. Those verses we just read about John the Baptist. And in the Old Testament, the passage in Malachi, it talks about John the Baptist coming. It actually is a prophecy that was given before God was silent to the Israelites for 400 years. The book of Malachi was the last written prophecy, the last words from God for 400 years. That's a long time to be waiting for a word from the Lord. And then Zechariah prophesies about his son, John, and says that in verse 76, you will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of our God's merciful compassion. The dawn from on high will visit us, to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So John went around and he preached this gospel of repentance. He said, turn back to God. Stop doing the things you've always been doing, the things where you serve yourself or you serve money, putting these gods before our God, because our God is worthy of our worship and our respect. And in Malachi, the words that came, they come after a few chapters where Malachi is bringing a word to the priests at the time and saying, you priests are bringing these offerings to the Lord, and God doesn't even like them. God doesn't like the offerings that you bring because you bring them with wrong motives. You bring him these offerings, but then you mistreat your people, your workers. You are unkind to the people that love you. You take advantage of those that you don't think are high enough. You see yourself as better than them. And the truth is that God wanted to bring a Messiah, because we often get into ruts like this, where we bring offerings to God that aren't really worthy of him. And the things that we bring to him aren't really worthy of him. We come to church maybe on Sunday mornings, and our week has been hectic and busy and crazy, and I can understand that. I have 3 young children, and I'll give you a little glimpse into our house. I shared this with my Sunday school class this morning, but we have 3 kids, and they're 4, and four and like 11, 12, he's turning 5 next month, 2.5, and 7 months. And one of the things that happened this week is, with our kids, they get to be pretty busy, and we're potty training Taryn, who's our second, and our youngest is just about crawling, so he likes to have adventures and doesn't like to be put down and things like that. And so the adventure at our house is when the oldest kid has a bloody nose while mom's changing the diaper of the youngest kid, and then the middle child decides to find dad's tools and bring them to her little brother and maybe do some work on him, which sounds funny, but if you got a tin snip in a two-year-old's hand and a little baby close by, you wonder what's going to happen. It's scary. And then, meanwhile, she's trying to cook supper while dad takes a shower. And so I'm in the shower, and I'm thinking about all these things I'm hearing around me, and I'm like, I should shower fast because this is not going well. And this is about 10 minutes of our day where that happens. And so I can understand coming to church and having lots of things on your mind, lots of things spinning. But the thing is, we need to bring an offering of worship to the Lord where we exalt him and not just our preferences, our priorities, our personal wants or needs, but worshiping him because he is the creator. He is the God who has done so much for us. And he sent Jesus. And what Jesus did is Jesus lived, he died, he rose again from the dead, and he conquered sin and death. He made a way for us to have a right relationship with God. And that is why the angels came to the shepherds and they said, there is good news, great joy, which will be to all people. Christ is born, and God is bringing peace to people. He's bringing a way for us to be right with him. For all those things that we do when we're frustrated at the things going on in our families, maybe with all their kids and their craziness, maybe the frustration that comes in me sometimes that I have to confront, I can bring those things to him and confess to him when I've messed up, when I haven't reacted well. And I can bring those things before him and say, God, I tried and I failed and I need your help, because we're all going to fail, every single one of us. And so we bring an offering of worship to him this morning, and we say, God, you are worthy because of what you have done, not because of our view of you, not because of who we are, but because of what you have done. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Because Jesus came the first time. He did. He came and he did this amazing thing. But the truth is that he's coming back again. And my question to you this morning that I want to talk about a little bit is, how do we prepare for that? If Jesus is coming back, how do we prepare for that? How can we be found ready when he comes? And I want to read through Matthew 24 and 25. Yeah, all of it, because I think God's word is important and it teaches us a lot. And so I hope that if you get nothing out of what I say this morning, I hope that God teaches you from his word. And so we're going to start with Matthew 24. As Jesus left and was going out of the temple complex, his disciples came up and called his attention to the temple buildings. Then he replied to them, "Don't you see all these things? I assure you, not one stone will be left here on another that will not be thrown down." While he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples approached him privately and said, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Then Jesus replied to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will deceive many. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, because these things must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these events are the beginning of birth pains. Then they will hand you over for persecution, and they will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. Then many will take offense, betray one another, and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be delivered. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So when you see the abomination that causes desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. A man on the housetop must not come down to get things out of his house, and a man in the field must not go back to get his clothes. Woe to pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days. Pray that your escape may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For at that time there will be great tribulation, the kind that hasn't taken place from the beginning of the world until now, and never will again. Unless those days were limited, no one would survive. But those days will be limited because of the elect. If anyone tells you then, look, here's the Messiah, or over there, do not believe it. False messiahs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Take note, I have told you in advance. So if they tell you, look, he's in the wilderness, don't go out. Look, he's in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the carcass is, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not shed its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the celestial powers will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. As soon as its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, at the door. I assure you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, concerning that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, except the Father only. As the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. So this is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, if the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he would have stayed alert and not let his house be broken into. This is why you must also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and sensible slave whom his master has put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time? That slave whose master finds him working when he comes will be rewarded. I assure you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that wicked slave says in his heart, my master is delayed, and starts to beat his fellow slaves, and eats and drinks with drunkards, that slave's master will come on a day he does not expect, and at an hour he does not know. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's chapter 24. Chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were sensible. When the foolish took their lamps, they didn't take olive oil with them. But the sensible ones took oil in their flasks with their lamps. Since the groom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. In the middle of the night, there was a shout, here comes the groom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish ones said to the sensible ones, give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out. The sensible ones answered, no, there won't be enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell and buy oil for yourselves. When they had gone to buy some, the groom arrived. Then those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the rest of the virgins also came and said, Master, Master, open up for us. But he replied, I assure you, I don't know you. Therefore, be alert, because you don't know either the day or the hour. For it is just like a man going on a journey. He called his own slaves and turned over his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Then he went on a journey. Immediately the man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man with 2 earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents approached, presented five more talents and said, "Master, you gave me five talents. Look, I've earned five more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." Then the man with two talents also approached. He said, "Master, you gave me two talents. Look, I've earned two more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." Then the man who had received one talent also approached and said, "Master, I know you. You're a difficult man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours." But his master replied to him, "You evil, lazy slave. If you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers. And when I returned, I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good-for-nothing slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'I assure you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will also say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me.' Then they too will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or without clothes, or sick, or in prison, and not help you?' Then he will answer them, 'I assure you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me either.' And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." These two chapters tell us a lot about what it means to be prepared for Jesus to come back. And maybe today you were hoping, like, being prepared for Jesus coming back, let's break out the checklist. Number one, what do we do? Number two, what do we do? But I want to encourage you that it's actually not as much about a checklist thing as it is about a heart thing. God wants our hearts to be ready. God wants us to be in a position of readiness all the time. I think about people who serve in the military. They train and train and train and train and train. They go all the time and they do training, especially people in the reserves. They train on weekends and on evenings. But all their training doesn't mean that they're fighting all the time, but they're preparing. They're always preparing. Because if they do have to go to war, then instinct kicks in, right? And you just do the things that you've been training to do. Walter could probably talk about this with Taekwondo. When you do training all the time, if you would end up in a fight, you would just automatically do some of the things that you're trained to do. And I think that when we're preparing for Jesus to come back, we need to have hearts that are prepared, hearts that are ready. And I think that our heart training actually will impact the way that we act, the way that we interact with the world. And so one of the things about getting our hearts ready, because the truth is that not only do we need to prepare ourselves for the Jesus coming back, but myself as a parent, I need to be preparing my kids for Jesus coming back. And as believers, we need to be preparing those who we know that don't know Jesus for his return. Because the truth is that if they don't know, how can they prepare? And if they're not prepared, then what happens when Jesus comes back? Well, we've read about that. And it's not a pretty picture for those who don't believe in Jesus. And so preparedness looks like coming before God with our hearts and bringing them to him and saying, God, I want my heart to be filled with you. I want my heart to be soft toward you. I want my heart to grow so I can love you and others, because Jesus mentioned that the two greatest commandments are to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, and to love others as ourselves, to love our neighbor. And so when we come before Jesus, we need to come in repentance. Like the baptism of John that he preached, he said, come and turn back to God. That's what repentance means, turning back to God. So can we come every day? I think we need to come back to God. Every day we need to bring ourselves to him and say, God, I'm going to turn to you and I'm going to follow your way rather than the way that I want. Rather than seeking after status or power or fame or money or any of these things that promise, you know, the good life for us, we need to be turning to God's way, because God's way is the best way. It's how we're made. We all want somebody else to do good for us, right? At Christmas time, we all want to receive gifts. We all want to get something from somebody. Not because necessarily the specific gift is what we want, but we want to be shown that love. Or maybe we want to be affirmed by people. We want somebody to say good things about us. We want to maybe stand up here and preach and say, have people say, good sermon, or something like that. But I think it's more than that. We really need those things from God. We need his affirmation. We need his gifts. We need his significance. And we need him to fulfill those things, because all these other places and people will not fulfill those things for us. And so we need to turn back to God. Another thing to help with our preparedness is we need to keep watch. We need to be willing to think about Jesus coming back. Because if you're like me, maybe your everyday normal stuff takes over in your mind, you know, thinking about, for me, it's my three kids. And I had a moment this week where I was talking to myself. Actually, I was praying and asking Jesus about what I was supposed to talk about this week. And I knew I was talking about being prepared. And this was after one of those moments like I described earlier where our house feels like a crazy house. And I'm washing dishes and I'm thinking, how am I going to tell people to prepare themselves for Jesus coming back when it's hard enough trying to keep track of all my kids and what they're doing and make sure they're not all dead and, you know, or hiding or eating things they shouldn't or whatever it is. The thing is, I think that we need to take time for God. We need to take time when my kids are all asleep and I have a few minutes. I need to be preparing myself for Jesus coming back. While my kids are awake, I need to be modeling for them what it looks like to be prepared, to have a heart that is ready for when Jesus comes back. Because Jesus is going to come back and he's going to ask us about those things. Did you do this? You know, did you feed me when I was hungry? And did you look for me? Did you help me when I was sick? All of these things that if my heart's not prepared, I'm not going to do those things automatically or out of habit. And sometimes what it takes to get our hearts prepared is to do those things when we don't feel like it. To be disciplined in doing what we don't feel like when we know it's the right thing to do. Because walking in obedience prepares our hearts. Walking in obedience to what God has already called us to do. To what we read in the Word, if we just study it and find out all the Greek words but don't do what it says, that's a bunch of junk. That's not very useful for us. It's not going to help us. It doesn't help our hearts to be ready. And so we need to turn back to God and say, God, I want to look in this book. I want to look in your Word that you've given to us, the words that you've spoken, and I want to do what it says, even if it's hard. Even if you already know something that God's asked you to do, but you've been putting it off or ignoring it, that produces a lot of anxiety. I know. It's happened to me. But when we are obedient to God, his peace fills us, and he is good. We need to bear fruit. The parable of the virgins with the oil, we talked about this in Sunday school this morning, and one of the things we thought was, what does it mean to have oil and to be ready and to be watchful and to keep your lamp burning? And I think it means that we really need to keep hold of the gospel. And I know Paul talks about this a lot. He says, don't forget the gospel that you first heard. I know we can sometimes get caught up in all the, you know, we want to learn more things or gain more knowledge or become more more well-versed in the scriptures. But if we forget the good news of the simple gospel, that Jesus came, he lived, he died, he took away all our sin, he made a way for us to be right with God. And when God looks at us, if we believe that, when God looks at us, Jesus' blood covers us, and he doesn't see our sinfulness. He sees Jesus' righteousness. And so we can come before God and we can ask him for things boldly. We are not in control of what God decides to do with our prayers. Let's just be honest about that. We can't just pretend he's a genie and say, "Genie, give me $100 million. I just want to have the good life." But we can go to God and know that he sees us through Jesus when we've brought our sins to him. And when we have sin that's in our lives that we've been struggling with, if that's your reality, it's blocking you from getting to God more than it's blocking God from getting to you, because he is willing to be right near you. He is willing to be with you. And if you're letting some sin get in the way, you need to bring it to Jesus, because he wants to take that burden and he wants to have relationship with you. And we're often the limiting factor in that equation. And so, as we're preparing for Jesus' first return and the remembrance of Jesus coming back this Christmas, I want to encourage you, take time to turn back to God. Bring those things to him that you are unwilling to bring to him. And if you're having trouble with it, ask him to give you the willingness to do it, the courage to stand up and do what you know is right. Ask him to help you, because he is God and he has the power and he is willing and ready to help us. But sometimes we need to confront those things in our lives that we've been letting go too long and say, "God, I'm done with this now. I don't want to do this anymore." So are you ready for Jesus to come back? And how do we bring this to the people that we know that don't know him? I think it's simple. I think that we just need to tell them what Jesus has done for us. If we believe in him and if we're focused on him, it's going to be hard for them not to hear about Jesus. But if our minds are distracted by all these other things and busy with all this other stuff, they're not necessarily going to hear about Jesus from us. I know that when I start something new or when I get excited about something, it's really hard for me to keep quiet about it, and pretty much everybody I talk to hears about it. So then I know that for me, one of my litmus tests for that, kind of to find out if my relationship with Jesus is in a healthy place, is, am I talking about Jesus to the people around me? Am I praying with people who are other believers that I know are believers that I'm visiting if I go to their house? Because if Jesus is our common denominator and prayer is important, getting on our face before God and asking him to help us, I think that we're going to pray more. I think we're going to ask God to help us, because he can, and he is good. So my challenge to you, how does this relate to your life? This week, as you go about getting ready for Christmas and as you're preparing all these things, be mindful that you need to be preparing your heart as well. You need to be spending time with Jesus. You need to prepare yourself by repenting and turning to God. You need to prepare your kids, your families, your friends, by modeling and showing them what it looks like to live a life for Jesus, and also sharing with them the good news of what he has done. And whether that's inviting them to church or to candlelight service, that's great. Whether it's by choosing to serve and do something for others that takes time that you would rather take for yourself, that might be it. Or maybe it's choosing to give when really you might not have a lot of money extra. We read in scripture about a widow who goes to the temple, and she brings her two mites and she throws them in the thing, and Jesus is watching, and Jesus says, "That widow gave more than all these rich people over here, because she gave all that she had." We don't often give all that we have, but I think we could give more than we sometimes do. And so I don't want to say give all your money to the church, whatever. Mitch said we need some money before the end of the year, so get on that. But I want to say that there's probably people in your life that you know need some help in some way. Think about and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to respond to these needs? Because the truth is that as Christians, we need to look different than the world. We need to be more generous than the world. We need to be more loving than the world. And if you're just as loving as your neighbor, you need to ask Jesus, "Give me more love. Help me to pour that out on other people. Because you are good and you are holy." Amen. Thank you.
So our reward for being obedient to God and having a heart for him is going to be eternity in heaven, where we can all rejoice together. Please stand as we sing "When We All Get to Heaven." We'll sing verse 1 and 2 in the chorus, and then verse 3 and 4 in the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all meet Jesus, sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, surveying every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the joys of life repay. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we will tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day.
Bow with me. Merciful God, during this busy, bustling season, quiet us so we may hear your voice. Forgive us when we have failed. Renew your spirit within us. Change our hearts to be more loving, more caring, and more forgiving. Lead us, God, as we prepare ourselves for your second coming. And go with us this week as we prepare ourselves and anticipate the love and grace that you bring to burst forth in the world. Amen.